On the phone right now, we're joined by Frank Ahern, and Frank is a privacy expert who has just authored a book called How to Disappear, and he's been in a related business since 1984. Frank, you know, quite often I think about disappearing, but your type of disappearing is a little more permanent than I often think of.
Yeah, it can be permanent. Most of my clients are, you know, either involve money or violence, so the victims of the stalkers want to be away, you know, until their problems resolve. But it's a pretty unique business.
Now, you started off on kind of the other side of the coin in finding people who were trying to disappear. When did you kind of decide, hey, I can make this switch, and that it made sense?
Several years ago, I was in a bookstore, and I saw a guy buying books about offshore banking and moving to South America and other, you know, books about privacy. But he paid for it with his credit card, and I just thought that was kind of odd. Like, you're doing this discretion, but you're leaving a, you know, a digital footprint. And I struck up a conversation with him, and next thing you know, a new privacy business came to light. And I wrote an article about disappearing, and it just boomed.
You know, it seems like when I hear about these situations, usually it's because somebody has failed miserably. It's very complicated to decide to disappear.
Right, it is. Everyone has different reasons. You know, some for violence, some for money. You know, I worked with clients who lost everything, and they have little walk-away money, and just want to pick up and go and make sure their old life never catches up with them. Plus, you know, technology has made it easier for us to move and exist in places we wouldn't normally exist in because, you know, technology works for us. We can work online, bank online, do everything online.
You've been involved with a lot of high-profile situations as well. How did your name get out there that people are calling you rather for, in fact, as one of them was during President Clinton's difficulties to find the woman he was involved with?
Most of my clients were investigators, tabloids, insurance companies, so I became like the go-to guy where if you had a problem, maybe Frank can figure it out for you. And with that, my client was a tabloid, wanted me to locate a woman and to do nothing. I don't care what it costs, just find this woman for me today. And I found her, and I pretext pretty much, you know, told the maid there that I had a damaged package. I was UPS, and she said she'll be here today. And my client said, watch the news tonight, and sitting in a bar, news flash, boom, and there it was. And I was like, wow, Monica Lewinsky, that's who I located today. But that became pretty common doing a lot of high-profile cases. Yeah, I was pretty good at what I did.
And I imagine that with that success, it brings success to you financially as well. It's an unusual occupation, and probably not that many people that are as adept as you.
Yeah, it was quite lucrative. But, you know, with the skip tracing, a lot of the laws changed, and the privacy laws became very strict. So I just kind of saw that on the horizon. And I knew it was time to get out of the skip tracing part of the world and, you know, figure out the privacy end. So, but yeah, I used to love the skip tracing. I would sit down and locate 10 people a day, no problem, for clients. I could locate most people in an hour.
Wow. And the rise of the computer as our common everyday tool, has that made this a lot easier occupation for you or more difficult?
Well, a little bit of both, because it's a double-edged sword. It's a question of, I mean, you can use technology for disinformation. You know, people can be totally virtual today where, you know, almost, you know, 10 years ago, almost everybody had a home phone. And everybody had, quote, you know, that physical existence, where today most people don't have home phones anymore. So you can't always connect where somebody is. You call them, you think they're in Minnesota, they can actually be in Chicago. So it works both ways, and there's information out there which is great for gathering, you know, be it a site like ZobaSearch that gives old addresses or reverse directories that, you know, tell you what numbers are at locations. So, you know, it's just a question of what you're looking for that particular day.
Well, say I decided for whatever reason, hey, I want to disappear. I don't want anybody to know where I disappeared to. What are some of the keys to do that successfully?
Well, the first key is misinformation, because when you're looking for someone, you're looking at the information they left behind. On your home phone number, you have a contact. On your utility, you have a contact. That contact could be an old job, and I can call up and pretext your old job. and find out where you went if they knew. So we look for all the information you left behind and then either deviate it and delete it. And that also includes social media like Facebook and MySpace and LinkedIn. We just change all of that so none of it can connect you to your where you're going to. And then some disinformation, which is we have you make bogus calls to places you're not going, to realtors, to utility companies. So in case somebody pulled your phone records, they would locate that bogus information. And then the final aspect is reformation, getting you from point A to point B and make sure nobody can ever locate you or connect you to your old life and teach you how to communicate through prepaid phones, prepaid calling cards, and other internet tools of communication that can't be traced. And those are pretty much the three keys.
Now, one of the things that comes to my mind right away is, well, if I'm going to disappear, people need some explanation as to where I kind of throw the scent off. Either you try to so-called kill yourself, or does it make more sense to just basically disappear and have no explanation to where you are?
Yeah, you just walk off the planet. You walk into the sunset. And number one, faking your death is against the law. It's a felony. Number two, everybody tries to fake their death by water, but law enforcement figured that out. Like, oh, they drowned, no body. They're gone. So it's better off just to walk off into the sunset. No need to create a illegal move.
Are people that you deal with who want to disappear, are they largely successful, or do they pop up later, you know, for various reasons when they do try to contact either friends or relatives?
No, they're relatively successful. You know, because of my background as a skip tracer, and I know what another predator or skip tracer or hunter would look for, you know, if I teach certain parameters and they stick within them, then it's totally successful.
Well, now you've written a book, How to Disappear. Did you give away all your secrets, Frank?
I gave them all. I mean, they're really not secrets. They're actually just common sense about privacy, believe it or not. You know, no great deep dark secret. Just a lot of trickery and deceit.
Now, is privacy more of an issue not only for folks that want to disappear, but people who just want to protect themselves? Are you often called in to help with electronic problems that people have?
No, I'm not really, you know, a techie or anything like that. I deal with more information. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the book says How to Disappear, but that's the extreme part of it. But I deal with a lot of everyday privacy, you know, social media, the mistakes people make by putting information online, how big business is searching social media before they hire you. There might be drunk photos of you out there. There might be a LinkedIn account that's got two different pieces of information. So I'm strictly in the information aspect. The technical part's just not my thing.
And my co-host, Ann, has a question for you, Frank.
Hey, Frank.
Hello.
I was wondering how this has changed the difficulty of disappearing since 9/11, because it seems like security has gotten so much tighter on everything. And even, for example, if you want to stay at a motel overnight and pay with cash, they still want ID or they still want a credit card. Or have you noticed big changes since then?
Well, there's definitely a change in the information of what companies gather. They gather a lot more information about you. You know, like trying to check into a hotel, you need identification. Some hotels, you have to have a credit card. You know, car rental places, they want to know where you're staying at. Airlines now want your date of birth when you book a ticket. And so, yeah, you're seeing these little things pop up here and there. And I think it's just a primer for, you know, what comes next of more information and more information. And I just think it's the future of the way things are going.
Hmm. When you do help somebody disappear and now they're in their new location, I imagine one of the more critical issues for them is to find identification that's going to allow them to continue their lives.
No, we don't tell anybody to change their identity. You know, one of the myths about obtaining a new identity is, you know, whose identity are you buying? I mean, are they a felon? Do they owe the IRS $100,000? Was that identity sold to five different people? You know, where do you test it out? In customs? You know, I teach people how to be virtual, and with the tools of technology and use of corporations, you can basically in 30 days be practically invisible by using those particular tools and not break the law.
Can you explain that a little bit, Frank?
Well,
By virtual.
Well, by virtual meaning, you know, if you're going to pick up and move, you can either sublet an apartment that there's no lease on, or you can lease it under a corporation. I mean, there are shell corporations. There are various types of corporations available in different states where you don't have to have a Social Security identifier to own the corporation. So you're using the corporation as a shell. You get utilities. It goes into the corporation. The thing is, you're existing under this umbrella, and whoever's looking for you, if they don't know the umbrella name, they're not going to find you because they're going to use your name, your date of birth, and your Social Security number. But none of that's attached to your corporation. So you can be tucked away in Omaha under ABC Company, and nobody's going to locate you. And it's as simple as that.
Now, Frank, are you still active in the business?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And what made you decide to write a book about your career, write a book about this particular topic?
You know, I really didn't want to write the book because I don't take much heed to how-to books. But I was going to shut the site down because it was getting crazy with emails and inquiries. And my partner was, why don't we just write a book? I'm like, I don't know about that. And so I decided, sure, if we're going to do it, let's just do it our way. If it sells, it sells. If it don't, it don't. And next thing you know, it just, boom, the publishers wanted it. And, you know, here we are in five different countries later. So it certainly hit a chord at this point.
Well, Frank, it's certainly a very interesting occupation and one that we can, it's just intriguing. I think we've all watched enough movies and television and read enough books to gather into that kind of a mystery that goes into what you do and also the folks that you're doing it for. Can you give us a website where you might have more information? And also, I imagine they can get the book How to Disappear at Amazon or any local bookstore in the neighborhood.
Amazon, any bookstore. My website is disappear.info. There's a lot of great information on there about privacy and just general information that really makes you wonder about your own privacy and how it sits in society.
Well, that's great. Frank, I want to thank you so much for joining us here tonight, and it was a lot of fun to talk to you.